up as I come out of the elevator. Olivia flutters her eyelashes and tucks a strand of hair behind her ear. Christ, I'm done with this silly girl. I need HR to move her to another department. Coffee, please, Olivia, and get me a croissant. She leaps up to follow my orders. Andrea, get me Welch, Barney, then Flynn, then Claude Bastille on the phone. I don't want to be disturbed at all. Not even by my mother. Unless Anastasia Steele calls. Okay?
Yes, sir. Do you want to go through your schedule now?
No, I need coffee and something to eat first. I scowl at Olivia, who is moving at a snail's pace toward the elevator.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Andrea calls after me as I open the door to my office. From my briefcase, I take the padded envelope that holds my most precious possession, the glider. I place it on my desk, and my mind drifts to Miss Steele. She'll be starting her new job this morning, meeting new people, new men. The thought is depressing. She'll forget me. No, she won't forget me. Women always remember the first man they fucked, don't they? I'll always hold a place in her memory, for that alone. But I don't want to be a memory. I want to stay in her mind. I need to stay in her mind. What can I do? There's a knock at the door, and Andrea appears.
Coffee and croissants for you, Mr. Gray.
Come in. As she scurries over to my desk, her eyes dart to the glider, but wisely she holds her tongue. She places breakfast on my desk. Black coffee. Well done, Andrea.
Thanks. I've left messages for Welch, Barney, and Bastille. Flynn is calling back in 5.
Good. I want you to cancel any social engagements I have this week. No lunches, nothing in the evening. Get Barney on the phone and find me the number of a good florist.
She scribbles furiously on her notepad. Sir, we use Arcadia's roses. Would you like me to send flowers for you?
No, give me the number. I'll do it myself. That's all. She nods and leaves promptly, as if she can't get out of my office fast enough. A few moments later, the phone buzzes. It's Barney. Barney, I need you to make me a stand for a model glider. Between meetings, I call the florist and order 2 dozen white roses for Anna to be delivered to her home this evening. That way she won't be embarrassed or inconvenienced at work, and she won't be able to forget me.
Would you like a message with the flowers, sir?
The florist asks. A message for Anna? What to say? Come back. I'm sorry. I won't hit you again. The words pop unbidden into my head, making me frown. Something like, congratulations on your first day at work. I hope it went well. I spy the glider on my desk. And thank you for the glider. That was very thoughtful. It has pride of place on my desk. Christian. The florist reads it back to me. Damn, it doesn't express what I want to say to her at all.
Will that be all, Mr. Gray?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome, sir, and have a nice day.
I look daggers at the phone. Nice day, my ass.
Hey, man, what's eating you?
Claude gets up from the floor, where I've just knocked him flat on his lean, mean rear end.
You're on fire this afternoon, Gray.
He rises slowly, with the grace of a big cat reassessing its prey. We are sparring alone in the basement gym at Gray House. I'm pissed off, I hiss. His expression is cool as we circle each other.
Not a good idea to enter the ring if your thoughts are elsewhere, Claude says, amused, but not taking his eyes off me. I'm finding it helps. More on your left. Protect your right. Hand up, Gray.
He swings and hits me on my shoulder, almost knocking me off balance.
Concentrate, Gray. None of your boardroom bullshit in here. Or is it a girl? Some fine piece of ass finally cramping your cool?
He sneers, goading me. It works. I middle kick to his side and drop punch once, then twice, and he staggers back, dreadlocks flying.
Mind your own fucking business, Bastille.
Whoa, we have found the source of the pain.
Claude crows in triumph. He swings suddenly, but I anticipate his action and block him, thrusting up with a punch and a swift kick. He jumps back this time, impressed.
Whatever shit's happening in your privileged little world, Gray, it's working. Bring it on.
Oh, he is going down. I lunge at him. The traffic is light on the way home.
Taylor, can we make a detour?
Where to, sir?
Can you drive past Miss Steele's apartment?
Yes, sir.
I've got used to this ache. It seems to be ever-present, like tinnitus. In meetings, it's muted and less obtrusive. It's only when I'm alone with my thoughts that it flares up and rages inside me. How long does this last?
As we approach her apartment, my heartbeat spikes. Perhaps I'll see her. The possibility is thrilling and unsettling, and I realize that I have thought of nothing but her since she left. Her absence is my constant companion.
Drive slow, I instruct Taylor as we near her building. The lights are on. She's home. I hope she's alone and missing me. Has she received my flowers? I want to check my phone to see if she sent me a message, but I can't drag my gaze away from her apartment. I don't want to miss seeing her. Is she well? Is she thinking about me? I wonder how her first day at work went.
Again, sir?
Taylor asks as we slowly cruise past, and the apartment disappears from view.
No. I exhale. I hadn't realized I'd stopped breathing. As we head back to Escala, I sift through my emails and texts, hoping for something from her. But there's nothing. There's a text from Elena.
You okay?
I ignore it. It's quiet in my apartment. I'd not really noticed before. Anastasia's absence has accentuated the silence. Taking a sip of cognac, I wander listlessly into my library. It's ironic I never showed her this room, given her love of literature. I expect to find some solace in here because the room holds no memories of us. I survey all my books, neatly shelved and cataloged, and my eyes stray to the billiard table. Does she play billiards? I don't suppose she does. An image of her spread-eagled over the green bays springs to my mind. There may not be any memories in here, but my mind is more than capable and more than willing to create vivid erotic images of the lovely Miss Steele. I can't bear it. I take another swig of cognac and head out of the room. Tuesday, June 7th, 2011. We're fucking. Fucking hard. Against the bathroom door. She's mine. I bury myself in her again and again, glorying in her. The feel of her, her smell, her taste. Fisting my hand in her hair, holding her in place. Holding her ass. Her legs wrapped around my waist. She cannot move. She's pinioned by me, wrapped around me like silk. Her hands pulling my hair. Oh yes, I'm home. She's home. This is the place I want to be, inside her. She is mine. Her muscles are tightening as she comes, clenching around me, her head back. Come for me. She cries out, and I follow. Oh yes, my sweet, sweet Anastasia. She smiles, sleepy, sated, and oh so sexy. She stands and gazes at me, that playful smile on her lips, then pushes me away and walks backward, saying nothing. I grab her, and we're in the playroom. I'm holding her down over the bench. I raise my arm to punish her, belt in hand. And she disappears. She's by the door. Her face white, shocked and sad, and she's silently drifting away. The door has disappeared, and she won't stop. She holds out her hands in entreaty. Join me, she whispers,
But she's moving backward, getting fainter, disappearing before my eyes, vanishing. She's gone.
No,
I shout.
No.
But I have no voice. I have nothing. I'm mute. Mute. Again. I wake, confused. Shit, it's a dream. Another vivid dream. Different, though. Hell. I'm a sticky mess. Briefly, I feel that long-forgotten but familiar sense of fear and exhilaration. But Elena doesn't own me now. Jesus H. Christ. I've come for Team USA. This hasn't happened to me since I was, what, 15? 16? I lie back in the darkness, disgusted with myself. I drag my t-shirt off and wipe myself down. There's semen everywhere. I find myself smirking in the darkness, despite the dull ache of loss. The erotic dream was worth it. The rest of it, fucking hell. I turn over and go back to sleep.
He is gone. Mommy is sitting on the couch. She is quiet. She looks at the wall and blinks sometimes. I stand in front of her, but she doesn't see me. I wave and she sees me, but she waves me away. No, Maggot, not now. He hurts Mommy. He hurts me. I hate him. He makes me so mad. It's best when it's just Mommy and me. She is mine then. My Mommy. My tummy hurts. It is hungry again. I am in the kitchen, looking for cookies. I pull the chair to the cupboard and climb up. I find a box of crackers. It is the only thing in the cupboard. I sit down on the chair and open the box. There are two left. I eat them. They taste good. I hear him. He's back. I jump down and I run to my bedroom and climb into bed. I pretend to be asleep. He pokes me with his finger.
Stay here, you little shit. I'm going to fuck your bitch of a mother. I don't want to see your fuck ugly face for the rest of the evening. Understand?
He slaps my face when I don't reply.
Or you get the burn, you little prick.
No, no, I don't like that. I don't like the burn. It hurts.
Got it, retard?
I know he wants me to cry, but it's hard. I can't make the noise. He hits me with his fist.
Startled awake again, I lie panting in the pale dawn light, waiting for my heart rate to slow, trying to lose the acrid taste of fear in my mouth. She saved you from this shit, Gray. You didn't relive the pain of these memories when she was with you. Why did you let her leave? I glance at the clock. 5:15. Time for a run. Her building looks gloomy. It's still in shadow, untouched by the early morning sun. Fitting. It reflects my mood. Her apartment is dark inside, yet the curtains to the room I watched before are drawn. It must be her room. I hope to God that she's sleeping alone up there. I envisage her curled up on her white iron bed, a small ball of Anna. Is she dreaming of me? Do I give her nightmares? Has she forgotten me? I've never felt this miserable, not even as a teenager. Maybe before I was a gray. My memory spirals back. No, no. Not awake as well. This is too much. Pulling my hood up and leaning against the granite wall, I'm hidden in the doorway of the building opposite. The awful thought crosses my mind that I might be standing here in a week, a month, a year, watching, waiting, just to catch a glimpse of the girl who used to be mine. It's painful. I've become what she's always accused me of being, her stalker. I can't go on like this. I have to see her. See that she's okay. I need to erase the last image I have of her. Hurt,
humiliated, defeated, and leaving me. I have to think of a way. Back at Escala, Gale watches me impassively. I didn't ask for this. I stare at the omelet she's placed in front of me.
I'll throw it away then, Mr. Gray,
she says, and reaches for the plate. She knows I hate waste, but she doesn't quail at my hard stare. You did this on purpose, Mrs. Jones, interfering woman. And she smiles a small, victorious smile. I scowl, but she's unfazed, and with the memory of last night's nightmare lingering, I devour my breakfast. Could I just call Anna and say hi? Would she take my call? My eyes wander to the glider on my desk. She asked for a clean break. I should honor that and leave her alone. But I want to hear her voice. For a moment, I contemplate calling her and hanging up just to hear her speak.
Christian? Christian, are you okay?
Sorry, Roz, what was that?
You're so distracted, I've never seen you like this.
I'm fine, I snap. Shit. Concentrate, Gray. What were you saying? Roz eyes me suspiciously.
I was saying that SIP is in more financial difficulty than we thought. Are you sure you want to go ahead?
Yes. My voice is vehement. I am.
Their team will be here this afternoon to sign the heads of agreement.
Good. Now what's the latest on our proposal for Eamon Cavanaugh? I stand, brooding, staring down through the slatted wooden blinds at Taylor, who is parked outside Flynn's office. It's late afternoon, and I'm still thinking about Anna.
Christian, I'm more than happy to take your money and watch you stare out the window, but I don't think the view is the reason you're here, Flynn says.
When I turn to face him, he's regarding me with an air of polite anticipation. I sigh and make my way to his couch.
The nightmares are back. Like never before.
Flynn lifts a brow.
The same ones?
Yes.
What's changed?
He cocks his head to one side, waiting for my response. When I remain mute, he adds,
Christian, you look as miserable as sin. Something's happened.
I feel like I did with Elena. Part of me doesn't want to tell him, because then it's real.
I met a girl.
And?
She left me.
He looks surprised.
Women have left you before. Why is this different?
I stare at him blankly.
Why is it different?
Because Anna was different. My thoughts blur together in a colorful, tangled tapestry. She wasn't a submissive. We had no contract. She was sexually inexperienced. She was the first woman I wanted more from than just sex.
Christ, all the firsts I experienced with her. The first girl I'd slept beside, the first virgin, the first to meet my family, the first to fly in Charlie Tango, the first I took soaring.
Yeah, different. Flynn interrupts my thoughts.
It's a simple question, Christian.
I miss her. His face remains kind and concerned, but he gives nothing away.
You've never missed any of the women you were involved with previously?
No.
So there was something different about her, he prompts.
I shrug, but he persists.
Did you have a contractual relationship with her? Was she a submissive?
I'd hoped she would be, but it wasn't for her. Flynn frowns.
I don't understand.
I broke one of my rules. I chased this girl, thinking that she'd be interested, and it turned out it wasn't for her.
Tell me what happened.
The floodgates open, and I recount the past month's events, from the moment Anna fell into my office to when she left last Saturday
morning. I see. You've certainly packed a lot in since we last spoke.
He rubs his chin as he studies me.
There are many issues here, Christian, but right now the one I want to focus on is how you felt when she said she loved you.
I inhale sharply, my gut tightening with fear. "Horrified," I whisper.
"Of course you did," he shakes his head. "You're not the monster you think you are. You're more than worthy of affection, Christian. You know that. I've told you often enough. It's only in your mind that you're not." I give him a level gaze, ignoring his platitude.
"And how do you feel now?" he asks.
"Lost. I feel lost. I miss her. I want to see her. I'm in the confessional once more, owning up to my sins, the dark, dark need that I have for her, as if she were an addiction."
"So in spite of the fact that, as you perceive it, she couldn't fulfill your needs, you miss her?"
"Yes. It's not just my perception, John. She can't be what I want her to be, and I can't be what she wants me to be."
"Are you sure?"
"She walked out."
"She walked out because you belted her. If she doesn't share your tastes, can you blame her?"
"No."
"Have you thought about trying a relationship her way?"
"What?" I stare at him, shocked. He continues,
"Did you find sexual relations with her satisfying?"
"Yes, of course," I snap, irritated. He ignores my tone.
"Did you find beating her satisfying?"
"Very."
"Would you like to do it again?
Do that to her again? And watch her walk out again?"
"No." "And why's that?"
"Because it's not her scene. I hurt her, really hurt her. And she can't... she won't..." I pause. "She doesn't enjoy it. She was angry. Really fucking angry. Her expression, her wounded eyes, will haunt me for a long time. And I never want to be the cause of that look again."
"Are you surprised?"
I shake my head. "She was mad," I whisper. "I'd never seen her so angry."
"How did that make you feel?"
"Helpless."
"And that's a familiar feeling,"
he prompts. "Familiar how? What does he mean?"
"Don't you recognize yourself at all? Your past?"
His question knocks me off balance.
"Fuck, we've been over and over this."
"No, I don't. It's different. The relationship I had with Mrs. Lincoln was completely different."
"I wasn't referring to Mrs. Lincoln."
"What were you referring to?" My voice is pin drop quiet, because suddenly I see where he's going with this.
"You know."
I gulp for air, swamped by the impotence and rage of a defenseless child. Yes, the rage, the deep, infuriating rage, and fear. The darkness swirls angrily inside me. "It's not the same," I hiss through gritted teeth as I strain to hold my temper.
"No, it's not," Flynn concedes.
But the image of her rage comes unwelcome to my mind. "This is what you really like? Me? Like this?" It dampens my anger. "I know what you're trying to do here, Doctor, but it's an unfair comparison. She asked me to show her. She's a consenting adult, for fuck's sake. She could have safe-worded. She could have told me to stop. She didn't."
"I know, I know."
He holds his hand up.
"I'm just callously illustrating a point, Christian. You're an angry man, and you have every reason to be. I'm not going to rehash all that right now. You're obviously suffering, and the whole point of these sessions is to move you to a place where you are more accepting and comfortable with yourself." He pauses. "This girl..."
"Anastasia," I mutter petulantly.
"Anastasia. She's obviously had a profound effect on you. Her leaving has triggered your abandonment issues and your PTSD. She clearly means much more to you than you're willing to admit to yourself."
I take a sharp breath. Is that why this is so painful? Because she means more? So much more?
You need to focus on where you want to be, Flynn continues. And it sounds to me like you want to be with this girl. You miss her. Do you want to be with her?
Be with Anna?
Yes, I whisper. Then you have to focus on that goal. This goes back to what I've been banging on about for our last few sessions, the SFBT. If she's in love with you, as she told you she is, she must be suffering too. So I repeat my question. Have you considered a more conventional relationship with this girl?
No, I haven't.
Why not?
Because it's never occurred to me that I could.
Well, if she's not prepared to be your submissive, you can't play the role of dominant.
I glare at him. It's not a role. It's who I am. And from nowhere, I recall an earlier email to Anastasia. My words. What I think you fail to realize is that in dom-sub relationships, it is the sub who has all the power. That's you. I'll repeat this. You are the one with all the power, not I. If she doesn't want to do this, then neither can I. Hope stirs in my chest. Could I? Could I have a vanilla relationship with Anastasia? My scalp prickles. Fuck. Possibly. If I could, would she want me back?
Christian, you have demonstrated that you are an extraordinarily capable person, in spite of your problems. You're a rare individual. Once you focus on a goal, you drive ahead and achieve it, usually surpassing all your own expectations. Listening to you today, it's clear you were focused on getting Anastasia to where you wanted her to be, but you didn't take into account her inexperience or her feelings. It seems to me that you've been so focused on reaching your goal that you missed the journey that you were taking together. The last month flashes before me. Her tripping into my office, her acute embarrassment at Clayton's, her witty, snarky emails, her smart mouth, her giggle, her quiet fortitude and defiance, her courage. And it occurs to me that I have enjoyed every single minute, every infuriating, distracting, humorous, sensual, carnal second of her. Yes, I have. We've been on an extraordinary journey, both of us. Well, I certainly have. My thoughts take a darker turn. She doesn't know the depths of my depravity, the darkness in my soul, the monster beneath. Maybe I should leave her alone. I'm not worthy of her. She can't love me. But even as I think the words, I know that I don't have the strength to stay away from her, if she'll have me. Flynn summons my attention.
Christian, think about it. Our time is up now. I want to see you in a few days and talk through some of the other issues you mentioned. I'll have Janet call Andrea and arrange an appointment.
He stands, and I know it's time to leave. You've given me a lot to think about, I tell him.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't. Just a few days, Christian. We have so much more to talk about.
He shakes my hand and gives me a reassuring smile, and I leave with a small blossom of hope. Standing on the balcony, I survey Seattle at night. Up here, I'm at one remove, away from it all. What did she call it? My ivory tower. Normally, I find it peaceful, but lately my peace of mind has been shattered by a certain blue-eyed young woman.
Have you thought about trying a relationship her way?
Flynn's words taunt me, suggesting so many possibilities. Could I win her back? The thought terrifies me. I take a sip of my cognac. Why would she want me back? Could I ever be what she wants me to be? I won't let go of my hope. I need to find a way. I need her. Something startles me. A movement, a shadow at the periphery of my vision. I frown. What the? I turn toward the shadow, but find nothing. I'm seeing things now. I slug the cognac and head back into the living room.
Wednesday, June 8th, 2011.
Mommy. Mommy.
Mommy is asleep on the floor. She has been asleep for a long time. I shake her. She doesn't wake up. I call her. She doesn't wake up. He isn't here, and still Mommy doesn't wake up. I am thirsty. In the kitchen, I pull a chair to the sink and I have a drink. The water splashes over my sweater. My sweater is dirty. Mommy is still asleep. Mommy, wake up! She lies still. She is cold. I fetch my blankie and I cover Mommy and I lie down on the sticky green rug beside her. My tummy hurts. It is hungry, but Mommy is still asleep. I have two toy cars, one red, one yellow. My green car is gone. They race by the floor where Mommy is sleeping. I think Mommy is sick. I search for something to eat. In the icebox I find peas. They are cold. I eat them slowly. They make my tummy hurt. I sleep beside Mommy. The peas are gone. In the icebox is something. It smells funny. I lick it and my tongue sticks. I eat it slowly. It tastes nasty. I drink some water. I play with my cars and I sleep beside Mommy. Mommy is so cold and she won't wake up. The door crashes open. I cover Mommy with my blankie.
Fuck. What the fuck happened here? Oh, the crazy fucked up bitch. Shit. Fuck. Get out of my way, you little shit.
He kicks me, and I hit my head on the floor. My head hurts. He calls somebody, and he goes. He locks the door. I lay down beside Mommy. My head hurts. The lady policeman is here.
No, no, no. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I stay by Mommy. No. Stay away from me.
The lady policeman has my blankie and she grabs me. I scream.
Mommy. Mommy.
The words are gone. I can't say the words. Mommy can't hear me. I have no words.
I wake, breathing hard, taking huge gulps of air, checking my surroundings. Oh, thank God. I'm in my bed. Slowly the fear recedes. I'm 27, not 4. This shit has to stop. I used to have my nightmares under control. Maybe one every couple of weeks, but nothing like this, night after night, since she left. I turn over and lie flat on my back, staring at the ceiling. When she slept beside me, I slept well. I need her in my life, in my bed. She was the day to my night. I'm going to get her back. How?
Have you thought about trying a relationship her way?
She wants hearts and flowers. Can I give her that? I frown, trying to recall the romantic moments in my life. And there's nothing, except with Anna. The more.
The gliding and IHOP. And taking her up in Charlie Tango. Maybe I can do this. I drift back to sleep, the mantra in my head. She's mine. She's mine. And I smell her, feel her soft skin, taste her lips, and hear her moans. Exhausted, I fall into an erotic, Anna-filled dream. I wake suddenly. My scalp tingles. And for a moment, I think whatever's disturbed me is external rather than internal. I sit up and rub my head and slowly scan the room. In spite of the carnal dream, my body has behaved. Elena would be pleased. She texted yesterday, but Elena's the last person I want to talk to. There's only one thing I want to do right now. I get up and pull on my running gear. I'm going to check on Anna. Her street is quiet, except for the rumble of a delivery truck and the out-of-tune whistling of a solitary dog walker. Her apartment is in darkness, the curtains to her room closed. I keep a silent vigil from my stalker's hide, staring up at the windows and thinking, I need a plan to win her back. As dawn's light brightens her window, I turn my iPod up loud, and with Moby blaring in my ears, I run back to Escala. I'll have a croissant, Mrs. Jones. She stills in surprise, and I raise a brow. Apricot preserves? She asks, recovering. Please. I'll heat up a couple for you, Mr. Gray. Here's your coffee. Thank you, Gail. She smiles. Is it just because I'm having croissants? If it makes her that happy, I should have them more often. In the back of the Audi, I plot. I need to get up close and personal with Anna Steele to begin my campaign to win her back. I call Andrea, knowing that at 7:15 she won't be at her desk yet, and I leave a voicemail. Andrea, as soon as you're in, I want to run through my schedule for the next few days. There. Step one in my offensive is to make time in my schedule for Anna. What the hell am I supposed to be doing this week? Currently, I don't have a clue. Normally I'm on this shit, but lately I've been all over the place. Now I have a mission to focus on. You can do this, Gray. But deep down, I wish I had the courage of my convictions. Anxiety unfurls in my gut. Can I convince Anna to take me back? Will she listen? I hope so. This has to work. I miss her. Mr. Gray, I canceled all your social events this week, apart from the one for tomorrow. I don't know what the occasion is. Your calendar says Portland. That's it. Yes, the fucking photographer. I beam at Andrea, and her eyebrows shoot up in surprise. Thanks, Andrea. That's all for now. Send in Sam. Sure, Mr. Gray. Would you like some more coffee? Please. With milk? Yes, latte. Thank you. She smiles politely and leaves. This is it. My in. The photographer. Now, what to do? My morning has been back-to-back meetings, and my staff have been watching me nervously, waiting for me to explode. Okay, that's been my modus operandi for the last few days, but today I feel clearer, calmer, and present, able to deal with everything. It's now lunchtime. My workout with Claude has gone well. The only fly in the ointment is that there's no more news about Leela. All we know is that she's split up with her husband, and she could be anywhere. If she surfaces, Welch will find her. I'm famished. Olivia sets a plate down on my desk.
Your sandwich, Mr. Gray.
Chicken and mayonnaise? I stare at her. She just doesn't get it. Olivia offers an inept apology. I said chicken with mayonnaise, Olivia. It's not that hard.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gray.
It's fine. Just go. She looks relieved, but scrambles to leave the room. I buzz Andrea.
Sir?
Come in here. Andrea appears at the doorway, looking calm and efficient. Get rid of that girl. Andrea pulls herself up straight.
Sir, Olivia is Senator Blandino's daughter.
I don't care if she's the Queen of fucking England. Get her out of my office.
Yes, sir.
Andrea flushes. Get someone else to help you, I offer in a gentler tone. I don't want to alienate Andrea.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Thank you. That's all. She smiles, and I know she's back on board. She's a good PA. I don't want her to quit because I'm being an asshole. She exits, leaving me to my chicken sandwich, no mayo, and my campaign plan. Portland. I know the form of email address for employees at SIP. I think Anastasia will respond better in writing. She always has. How to begin? Dear Anna, no. Dear Anastasia, no. Dear Miss Steele, shit. Half an hour later, I'm still staring at a blank computer screen. What the hell do I say? Come back, please? Forgive me? I miss you? Let's try it your way? I put my head in my hands.
Why is this so difficult? Keep it simple, Gray. Just cut the crap. I take a deep breath and tap out an email. Yes, this will do. Andrea buzzes me.
Ms. Bailey is here to see you, sir.
Tell her to wait. I hang up and take a moment, and with my heart pounding, I press send. From Christian Gray. Subject, tomorrow. Date, June 8th, 2011, 2:05 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Anastasia, forgive this intrusion at work. I hope that it's going well. Did you get my flowers? I note that tomorrow is the gallery opening for your friend's show, and I'm sure you've not had time to purchase a car, and it's a long drive. I would be more than happy to take you, should you wish. Let me know. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I watch my inbox, and watch, and watch, my anxiety growing with every second that crawls by. Getting up, I pace the office, but that takes me away from my computer. Back at my desk, I check my email yet again. Nothing. To distract myself, I trace my finger along the wings of my glider. For fuck's sake, Gray, get a grip. Come on, Anastasia, answer me. She's always been so prompt. I check my watch. 2:09. 4 minutes. Still nothing. Getting up, I pace around my office once more, peering at my watch every 3 seconds, or so it feels. By 2:20, I'm in despair. She's not going to reply. She really does hate me. Who could blame her? Then I hear the ping of an email. My heart leaps into my throat. Hell, it's from Roz, telling me she's gone back to her office. And then it's there, in my inbox, the magical line. From Anastasia Steele. From Anastasia Steele, subject, tomorrow. Date, June 8th, 2011, 2:25 p.m. To Christian Gray.
Hi, Christian. Thank you for the flowers. They are lovely. Yes, I would appreciate a lift. Thank you. Anastasia Steele, assistant to Jack Hyde, editor, SIP.
Relief floods through me. I close my eyes, savoring the feeling. Yes. I pore over her email looking for clues, but as usual I have no idea what the thoughts are behind her words. The tone is friendly enough, but that's it. Just friendly. Carpe diem, Gray. From Christian Gray. Subject, tomorrow. Date, June 8th, 2011. 2:27 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Anastasia, what time shall I pick you up? Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. I don't have to wait quite so long. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, tomorrow. Date, June 8th, 2011, 2:32 p.m. To Christian Gray.
Jose's show starts at 7:30. What time would you suggest? Anastasia Steele, assistant to Jack Hyde, editor, SIP.
We can take Charlie Tango. From Christian Gray. Subject, tomorrow. Date, June 8th, 2011, 2:34 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Dear Anastasia, Portland is some distance away. I shall pick you up at 5:45. I look forward to seeing you. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, tomorrow. Date, June 8th, 2011, 2:38 p.m. To Christian Gray.
See you then. Anastasia Steele, assistant to Jack Hyde, editor, SIP.
My campaign to win her back is underway. I feel elated. A small blossom of hope is now a Japanese flowering cherry. I buzz Andrea.
Miss Bailey went back to her office, Mr. Gray.
I know, she emailed me. I need Taylor here in an hour.
Yes, sir.
I hang up.
Anastasia is working for a guy named Jack Hyde. I want to know more about him. I call Roz. Christian? She sounds pissed. Tough. Do we have access to the employee files from SIP? Not yet, but I can get them. Please, today if you can. I want everything they have on Jack Hyde and anyone who's worked for him. Can I ask why? No. She's silent for a moment. Christian, I don't know what's got into you recently. Roz, just do it, okay? She sighs. Okay. Now can we have our meeting about the Taiwan shipyard proposal? Yes. I had an important call to make. It took longer than I thought. I'll be right up. When Roz leaves, I follow her out of the office. WSU next Friday, I tell Andrea, who scribbles a reminder in her notebook. And I get to fly in the company chopper? Roz bubbles with enthusiasm. Helicopter, I correct her. Whatever, Christian. She rolls her eyes as she enters the elevator, and it makes me smile. Andrea watches Roz leave, then gives me an expectant look. Call Stefan. I'll be flying Charlie Tango to Portland tomorrow evening, and I'll need him to fly her back to Boeing Field, I tell Andrea. Yes, Mr. Gray. I see no sign of Olivia. Has she gone? Olivia? Andrea asks. I nod. Yes. She seems relieved. Where to? Finance. Good thinking. It'll keep Senator Blandino off my back. Andrea looks pleased at the compliment. You're getting someone else to help out here? I ask. Yes, sir. I'm seeing 3 candidates tomorrow morning. Good. Is Taylor here? Yes, sir. Cancel the rest of my meetings today. I'm going out. Out? She squeaks in surprise. Yes, I grin. Out. Where to, sir? Taylor asks as I stretch out in the back of the SUV. The Mac store. On Northeast 45th? Yes. I'm going to buy Anna an iPad. Leaning back in my seat, I close my eyes and contemplate which apps and songs I'm going to download and install for her. I could choose Toxic. I smirk at the thought. No, I don't think that would be popular with her. She'd be mad as hell. And for the first time in a while, the thought of her mad makes me smile. Mad like she was in Georgia, not like last Saturday. I shift in my seat. I don't want to be reminded of that. I turn my thoughts back to potential song choices, feeling more buoyant than I have in days. My phone buzzes and my heart rate spikes. Dare I hope? Hey, asshole, beer? Hell, a text from my brother. No, busy. You're always busy. Going to Barbados tomorrow to, you know, relax. See you when I get back, and we will have that beer. Laters, Leliot. Safe travels. It's been a diverting evening filled with music, a nostalgic journey through my iTunes, making a playlist for Anastasia. I remember her dancing in my kitchen. I wish I knew what she'd been listening to. She looked totally ridiculous and utterly adorable. That was after I fucked her for the first time. No, after I made love to her the first time? Neither term feels right. I recall her impassioned plea the night I introduced her to my parents. I want you to make love to me. How shocked I was by her simple statement, and yet all she wanted was to touch me. I shudder at the thought. I have to make her understand that this is a hard limit for me. I cannot tolerate being touched. I shake my head. You're getting way ahead of yourself, Gray. You have to close this deal first. I check the inscription on the iPad. Anastasia, this is for you. I know what you want to hear. This music on here says it for me. Christian. Perhaps this will do it. She wants hearts and flowers. Perhaps this will come close. But I shake my head because I have no idea. There's so much I want to say to her, if she'll listen. And if she won't, the songs will say it for me. I just hope she allows me the opportunity to give them to her. But if she doesn't like my proposition, if she doesn't like the thought of being with me,
What will I do? I might just be a convenient ride to Portland. The thought depresses me as I head toward my bedroom for some much-needed sleep. Do I dare to hope? Damn it, yes, I do. Thursday, June 9th, 2011.
The doctor holds up her hands. I'm not going to hurt you. I need to check your tummy. Here. She gives me a cold, round, sucky thing, and she lets me play with it. You put it on your tummy, and I won't touch you, and I can hear your tummy. The doctor is good. The doctor is Mommy. My new mommy is pretty. She's like an angel. A doctor angel. She strokes my hair. I like it when she strokes my hair. She lets me eat ice cream and cake. She doesn't shout when she finds the bread and apples hidden in my shoes, or under my bed, or under my pillow. Darling, the food is in the kitchen. Just find me or Daddy when you're hungry. Point with your finger. Can you do that? There's another boy, Leliot. He is mean, so I punch him. But my new mommy doesn't like the fighting. There is a piano. I like the noise. I stand at the piano and press the white and the black. The noise from the black is strange. Miss Kathy sits at the piano with me. She teaches the black and the white notes. She has long brown hair, and she looks like someone I know. She smells of flowers and apple pie baking. She smells of good. She makes the piano sound pretty. She is kind to me. She smiles, and I play. She smiles, and I am happy. She smiles, and she's Anna. Beautiful Anna. Sitting with me as I play a fugue, a prelude, an adagio, a sonata. She sighs, resting her head on my shoulder, and she smiles. I love listening to you play, Christian. I love you, Christian. Anna, stay with me. You're mine. I love you too. I wake with a start. Today, I win her back. This is Zachary Weber. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Gray by E.L. James. This program was directed by Aaron Spencer, producer Dan Zitt. Text copyright 2011 and 2015 by 50 Shades Limited. Production copyright 2015, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.